So don't get me wrong, I respect this man. I think I would even say that I love him. In the right company, I might even confess that I believe he's the Messiah. But I still have to wonder why he isn't just a little bit too hard on my brothers. You know, Jesus already had a strike against him when we first became aware of him. He is so witty and intelligent and conversant, and we're pretty sure he picked this up by spending years meeting with the Habarim. And the Habarim are a different kind of movement that's kind of sprung up of people who meet and they discuss the Torah. And they try to live it out in their own lives, but the problem is that they're uneducated. They don't have the benefit of our wisdom as Pharisees. They don't really understand all of the details. And Jesus has been hanging out with these folks, and while they're well-intentioned, it can be kind of dangerous too. The people of Israel look to us to interpret the law. We can figure out the law. We can understand Yahweh's intent for them so much better than these Habarim. We not only remember the minute details that others easily forget, but we also exhibit the discipline and the application of the law in the right way. We try to teach our traditions to the people. As well, we're very zealous for the pursuit of righteousness and piety and purity. Righteousness, piety, and purity, that's what we're about. We live it out. And it's not to say that Jesus doesn't try to do those things too, but, you know, he does seem to have a bone to pick with us. Ask nearly anyone who has seen him speak in public, he's always dissing us. All the time. One of his most famous verbal spats we engaged in was when he was out with his disciples, and one of the things that we always see him doing with his disciples is they eat with people and they don't wash their hands first. I mean, the importance of ritual purity, of washing your hands, it's well established in the law. And one time we challenged him on this, or some of my colleagues challenged him on this, and he sort of turned it back on us, on them. I wasn't there for this. I heard about it. He said, you know, what about how you have misinterpreted the commandment to honor your father and mother? And well, if he would have spent time with us, we could have explained to him how the tradition has interpreted that part of the law. But he would have none of it. He was sure that we had misinterpreted the law, insinuating that we have the greater error in breaking the commands of God to uphold our traditions. If he could just use a little bit more diplomacy with us, he might get further with us. One time I had a private audience with him, and I found him very warm but confusing, a bit enigmatic. He was talking about what it means to be a member of the kingdom of God. There are a few of us in the Pharisees who believe that he may well be the Messiah. And I went to share this with him. I mean, who else could perform such miracles? Healing the blind, the demon-possessed, the lepers, the lame. So, you know, some of us really think he's the real deal. But then the conversation took a mysterious turn by saying, no one could see the kingdom of God unless he was born again. And that was just confusing to me. I couldn't wrap my head around it. He tried to explain that it was something about sort of a new beginning with the Spirit, but just the image of being born again, I couldn't get that out of my head, sort of a rebirth, a natural birth of the flesh. And then Jesus didn't seem too concerned about explaining it further to me. I think he kind of gave up. And then another idea of his that really resonated with me was that he called himself the Son of God. And this, in being with him, made sense, but it is such a revolutionary idea that he's essentially calling himself God. And that just will not go over with my colleagues. It will drive them crazy if they hear this. Some have even spoke of conspiring to kill him. I can't imagine that would be approved by a ruling council, but these days, who knows what will happen. You know, if he could just calm it down a little bit, but he just keeps adding fuel to the fire. He has been calling us names like brood of vipers, blind guides, whitewashed tombs, broods of vipers, sons of hell, hypocrites. He's just asking for trouble. And he came back to Jerusalem this week to celebrate the Feast of the Tabernacles, which, you know, in our backyards, we build these little temporary shelters to help us remind ourselves of the time we were wandering as Israelites in the wilderness. So many believed Jesus this week as he preached and embraced him as the Messiah, but others say he's out of his mind. Some of our leaders gave a directive to some officers to go and retrieve him forcibly if necessary. I'm a little anxious to know what transpired. Here they are. Let's see what's happened.
What do you mean you didn't bring him with you? We just couldn't.
I thought we sent officers, not boys, to do the job.
Hey, we're not incompetent.
Well, you sure didn't complete the task we gave you. But don't you know, no one has ever spoken like this man has.
Well, it sounds like he's got you under his spell as well.
What sort of things did he say?
If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink.
Preposterous. What on earth is he talking about?
Perhaps he just bought himself a well and he'd like to share it with the rest of the city.
He who believes in me from his innermost being will pour rivers of living water.
Unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God.
Even if we had tried to bring him back with us, the crowd would have risen up and defended him.
The crowd? What do they know? The plebeians? The commoners?
Don't believe this Jesus. If the Messiah were among us, surely we Pharisees would know him. As it is, does any Pharisee, even one, believe this fellow? No, not any of us. You know, because he's a fake.
You can believe what you will, but the crowd believes in him.
Oh, the crowd. Do they know the law?
Brothers, our law doesn't judge a man unless the man is first given a fair hearing and a chance to explain himself. Isn't that right?
Nicodemus, do you defend him now because you're a Galilean yourself?
Galilee doesn't produce prophets. That's a fact. Moreover, the man hails from Nazareth. What good thing can come out of such a miserable village?
Indeed. Go back to the prophets, Nicodemus. Maybe you have become a little rusty. The Messiah will come from Bethlehem in Judea, not Nazareth in Galilee. This man does not fit the prophecy.
Jesus, why don't you help us understand more? Why can't you balance your compassion for the marginalized and oppressed with an appreciation for the intellectuals and philosophers who desire to be devout? Why isn't your wrath aimed at the Romans instead of at us, instead of at your own people? Have you no fear of the repercussions? Why do you keep pushing?